We have, in our time period, the most important Supreme Court pick in history. I know that's kind of cliche, and people say that, oh, it's such a historic time and all that. But I'm joined today with radio host Mike Church of the Crusade Channel. He's been on before. He's high energy. He's Catholic. He's got good things to say. We're going to ask the question, is it going to be Amy? Is it going to be Amy Coney Barrett? Is it going to be someone else? Should it be a Catholic? What is Trump thinking? And then, another big part of this, Mike, is how does this affect the polls, both for the Dems and for the Republicans? So, Mike Church, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, Taylor. Thanks for having me back. And all great questions. I'd also add or just throw in the question of or the statement that the cliche is, oh, it's the most important. This is the most important election in history. This one we got to. I've been hearing this since 1980, my first vote, 1980. So I'm an old hat. I'm an old hand at this. This, though, is for a variety of reasons, is the most important SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, most important SCOTUS pick for Catholics in the history of the United States and in the history of the Supreme Court. And I think by the end of the hour, you'll see the reasoning behind that and why that is. So it's going to be a fun hour. You're going to learn a lot. I'm probably going to learn a lot from Doc. We're going to have a great conversation, and you're going to see why. The court is important today, and why this one actually matters. And it could matter if you've got kids, it's going to matter to your kids. You got grandkids, it's going to matter to your grandkids. So I'm ready when you are, brother. Let's kick this thing
Let's
off.
do it. Let's pray. We'll pray the Pater Noster. I'll lead it. You finish it, Mike. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra.
Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos e mala. Amen.
Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus
Filii
Sancti.
Sancti. Amen.
Amen. All right. Why is this the most important one? And will it be Amy? Those are the big questions
Well,
right there.
yeah, I think a lot of people want it to be Amy because she's the most well known. She's got the Catholic pedigree for traditional Catholics. On the surface, she appears to absolutely be one of us. Mother of seven, former professor at University of Notre Dame. You probably all know or have seen by now the infamous confrontation between her and the senator from California that I call Dianne Feinbang. From Feinstein getting up in her face and saying, it was almost like a Yoda moment. The dogma, ooh, dogma strong. Yes, with this one, it is that the dogma was strong with her. Mrs. Clinton picked up on that. Hillary has repeated this. Every demonically infused and inspired person that you can think of knows that Amy Coney Barrett has that dogmatic streak. And I think that because we all want to beat these people. I think it's human nature. I was talking about this on my show today. Like, Mike, why do you think it's the most important one for Catholics? Why do you keep saying that? I mean, and you and I could talk about this. And I think one of the reasons is we're all into the church militant. If you're practicing Catholicism today, congratulations, you're in the church militant. Every once in a while, though, and I don't think God begrudges us this, we want to be part of the church triumphant. We want to win one every now and then. It's human nature. So I think that many people view Amy Coney Barrett as a win. Now, she's not a win until she gets a case in front of her that she gets to vote on, and then hopefully votes correctly. And when I say correctly, God first, state second, church first, state second. And can you do this and still be a Supreme Court justice? Absolutely. I turn your attention towards none other than Clarence Thomas. There's one vote in 20, let me see, 1991. So that's a 1929 years. One time that I go to Clarence Thomas and read a majority or minority opinion where I went, Wow, Justice. Just Thomas wrote that? Dude, come on, man. One time. So can you be a Catholic, a good Catholic, and then get your Supreme Court votes correct? You absolutely can. And we know you can because Judge Thomas leads the way.
Now let's take a sidestep here and talk about some of our Judas Iscariots on the Supreme Court. Ugh. We've had some, you know, we get these conservative presidents who come in and, oh, they fight and they fight and they get these really conservative justices on the Supreme Court. And then what happens? They sell us down the river. You want to talk about any of those?
Look, we could spend the next hour talking about it. Okay, one more reason why. I've got like five reasons why this is the most important Supreme Court pick for Catholics. Let's go to number two. Joe Biden. You called him a fake Catholic. The Washington Examiner wrote a piece about this. Other people out there, who are you to judge? How do you know he's fake, et cetera, et cetera? Yep. Joe Biden has a huge role in all this.
Yep.
So let me take your viewers back to 1987. Ronald Reagan gets to appoint a Supreme Court justice, his last appointment. I forget who it was that either retired or died. And everyone knows who it's going to be. There is total agreement. The left knows, the Democrats know, the Republicans know, the president knows. Everyone knows who's going to get the nod. He's already done the woman one, okay? He put the woman in, Sandra Day O'Connor. So everyone knows, and this guy got passed over. Everyone knows who it's going to be. You know who it is. Judge Robert Bork. Yeah. Now, this is not a surprise. No one is going like, oh, didn't see that one coming. No, everyone knew that Bork was the brightest, most intellectual, most well-studied, most reasoned, and probably most conservative as an originalist or constructionist, which are textualist, I think I've heard the term lately. Of all the people that were available, Bork was the guy. So it wasn't as though he was an unknown quantity. That's one. And it wasn't as though his work on the bench, on the other bench that he had served on, I think there were two, that we didn't have case law, okay? So Bork's nomination, the president announces it. It's a reaction in the press. It's what you would expect. But nothing so high volume as it became. When the left, though, started thinking that, now, wait a minute. This guy, they started peering into him, and somehow it was discovered that Judge Robert Bork had written that he thought that Roe versus Wade was one of the worst pieces of jurisprudence in history. Game on. Who went after him? Who led the charge to Bork, Judge Bork? Edward M. Kennedy, an alleged Catholic,
yep.
And Joseph R. Biden. This was World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship of the World Tag Team. Kennedy beat him up in the morning, and Biden would beat him up in the afternoon. Two Catholics went after Judge Robert Bork to the point where the president was finally told by the Senate Minority Leader, I believe it was Bob Dole at the time, Mr. President, we don't have the votes. If you proceed with the nomination, he will not be confirmed. So Reagan had two choices. Wait for the Senate to recess, make Bork a recess appointment, if they did recess, and they'd only get a year, or pick someone else. What does he do? He withdraws Bork, and who does he put in? Anthony Kennedy. In 1993, the second Roe versus Wade case comes in front of the court. Casey versus Planned Parenthood. Robert Casey is the then governor of the state of Pennsylvania. This looks like a slam dunk. This is a 10th Amendment case. This is very simple. Can the state of Pennsylvania regulate a Planned Parenthood clinic or any other abortion facility and say that beyond, I can't remember what the actual, the controversy was, but the state of Pennsylvania had passed a law. And by the way, Bob Casey, last conservative Catholic politician, great politician statewide in the state of Pennsylvania. His son is still in the Senate, Bob Casey Jr.
Yep.
So Bob Casey is part of this case, gets to the court, 5-4, it goes down in flames. Who cast the deciding vote? Kennedy. Who wrote the majority opinion? Kennedy. So if Bork is there, this is 5-4 the other way, and Roe is over.
Yeah.
It's over. It ends then, because your state of Texas, my state of Louisiana, our viewers out there, whatever state you live in, your state now has the right to write your own abortion regulations, as long as they, I can't remember the terminology, but you, like, for example, my state of Louisiana has written six laws in the last 2 years. All six of them have been challenged in court. Yep. That wouldn't have happened. Biden must bear the responsibility for that. And by the by, we counted the abortions. 36 million since Casey. That's on Joe Biden's
head. That's on Biden.
He cannot be allowed to pick another Supreme Court justice. He can't have anything to do with it.
Nope.
And as a Catholic, he simply cannot. So there's two things we got here. Most important Supreme Court pick. And if you needed a reason to not vote for Joseph R. Biden, you're on the fence Catholic and someone's telling you that you can. No, you can't. And there's 36 million reasons why you can't.
Yep. Yeah, that's where we get the term, you know, he got borked. People need to know that fake Catholic Sleepy Joe Biden was one of the masterminds in that plot. That's a legacy that he's going to take into eternity.
Got to stand in front of the judge for that, right?
And those babies. I think, you know, these kind of people, they stand before our Lord Jesus Christ and we all will stand. God have mercy on us. But I think when these people stand up, Jesus can be like, hold on a second. There's someone else who wants to be part of this. And he's going to bring in all these babies as their jury when he judges them.
So Biden has his blood on his hands. But don't also forget that when the then very well-known, very conservative, very humble Clarence Thomas came in front of Joseph R. Biden's committee in 1991.
Yeah, I remember.
He allowed Paul Simon of Ohio, Howard Metzenbaum, Senator Howell Heflin, Ted Kennedy, and all the rest of them to bring that fake trumped up, I don't even know what to call it, scandal,
yeah.
Calumny,
yep.
Against Judge Thomas from Anita Hill. Biden mm-hmm. allowed this, and Biden led the question. You remember, you know, we have the, there's lots of tapes. You probably don't want to play them because they've got all the porn words in them. But it was Biden that was up there asking Anita Hill about the video rentals and about the alleged jokes around a water cooler. As he's staring down a brother, fellow Catholic, and Clarence Thomas, right? He's allowing all this to go on. And what does Judge Thomas finally say when he gets his chance to talk? I categorically deny this. This is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks. So you get borked and you get high-tech lynchings. That's the fruit of the poison tree that is Joseph R. Biden. So, and look, you could go on and on and on into Biden's character and what he's done as a member of the United States Senate, first a member of Congress, then as a U.S. Senator, all the way up until, you know, it was Biden that was on the Obama administration when Obama is looking for replacements for those two seats that he got to fill. Who do we get? You get Alana Kagan and you get the other alleged Catholic, Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Yeah.
Biden's instrumental. He's given Obama advice. So, you know, you have Biden now involved in at least four Supreme Court justices directly, and all four of them he gets wrong. All four of them.
Yep.
So you ultimately got to say that even if you just from a secular point of view, you know, what's Biden's track record when it comes to what he thinks about the Supreme Court? Well, it's awful. It stinks.
Right.
So there's that. That's just the beginning of why this is important. If you want to talk about the current court, and we analyze what's going on here today. I'm sure many of your viewers are familiar with this movie called Out of Shadows. You're familiar with the adrenochrome thing, the pedo rings. Is it a coincidence, fair viewer, that all of a sudden after Ghislaine Maxwell is locked up, now every other week we get an announcement from the federal U.S. Marshals that another pedo ring has been busted, right?
Yeah.
So there is some credence to this. in one of these jaunts to the on the Lolita Express and then to Pedo Island, Bill Clinton is photographed in the water. Guess who else is photographed? John Roberts. So why don't we talk about the current court and why this is the most important?
Yeah, but I want to hear. John Roberts is the one that really chaps my hide, man. He has betrayed us. It's horrible. Fair. It's just horrible.
And I knew when the Obamacare case came up, I knew he was going to take that dagger and plunge it into our backs.
Yeah,
I knew it. I was on Sirius XM at the time on the Patriot Channel, and I called it that day. I said, do not be surprised. Tomorrow morning, 5-4, Chief Justice Roberts, wanting to be in the majority, sides with the minority and makes it a majority.
Amazing.
And sure enough.
Amazing. So how did we get tricked on that one? Explain that one to us.
Well, okay, so President Bush nominates, okay, William Rehnquist dies. Now, for many legal minds, William Rehnquist is probably, other than Bork, the most brilliant legal mind of the latter half of the 20th century. Justice Rehnquist is a good chief justice. You know, the Rehnquist court, well, there's some goods and some bads. But for the most part, Judge Rehnquist is on the right side of things, right? He's usually, if it's a 5-4 or a 6-3 with Rehnquist on it, you probably got a pretty good outcome. So Rehnquist dies, and Bush wants to get his conservative guy on the court, and he wants to make him chief justice. So not only does he send Roberts up as the nominee, he sends him up as the nominee and then makes him chief justice. Now, so that's right. How that happened. I can't tell you the inner workings of that. I do remember that Roberts was the first nominee that wouldn't answer the question on Roe.
Yep. Bad sign.
That's it right there. You should have known then and there. That's right. Should have known right then and there that, well, I'm not going to answer that question because it might come before the court. That's lame. Talk about lame. Now that is an RSTLNNE, like on the Wheel of Fortune, you know, you get these are going to happen. So that's going to happen. They're going to ask anyone that comes in front of the Senate, the almighty Senate Judiciary Committee. So you get Roberts. Now, there is something good that happens in the Bush administration. We do get Samuel Alito. Now, again, who opposed Alito? Kennedy and Biden.
Yep.
Again. I mean, now they fail because Alito is just a boring guy, and he has nothing. There's nothing in his closet. So Alito ultimately gets confirmed, and that's good. So let's talk about the current here. Folks, if you're wondering, like, well, why is this so important, Mike Taylor? Come on, give me some meat here. Okay. Right now you got eight. You have eight. Okay. It's a split.
4-4.
Right. Roberts is going to go with Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. You can't rely on the guy. If it's an important question, especially if it's one of precedent, he's going. So
is Roberts more, is Roberts deeply compromised?
I think he is.
Yeah, I think he is too.
Don't you think, let's go back to the sham impeachment hearing. There was a series of questions that was asked by Senator Rand Paul. They were totally relevant to the proceeding. What did Roberts do when Senator Paul stood up? I won't recognize the gentleman. Roberts would not recognize Paul. There were a couple other moments in there that people were going like, wait a minute, wait. I thought this was our guy.
Exactly.
I thought this John Roberts guy was one of us. And there, you know, look, blind squirrels get nuts. I think I got one here. Analog clocks are a broken one, and this one is broken. It'll be right twice today.
Yep.
My beloved Marion pocket watch says it doesn't work anymore. I just like carrying it around. He'll get one right every now and then. But Doc, this is why it's important. So you got the 4-4 tie. What is the probability that the first case is coming? Trump versus Pelosi. Trump versus United States. The likelihood that this election is not settled November the 3rd or the 4th or the 5th or the 10th or the 15th, because this is their plan. And they're Look, how do we know? Because they keep telling us.
They keep telling us. Yeah.
Isn't that the most amazing thing, that they just can't? They're so demonically inspired. They have this pride thing about them. They just go, like, oh, I'm going to tell you. What are you going to do about it?
Well, they want people to be resolved to a delay. They just want people.
Yeah. So if you keep telling me what you're going to do, no, I don't think they want us resolved to a delay. Our fellow Catholic, and I know some people who will say, are you really sure that Steve Bannon's a Catholic? Well, yeah, I think he is. You know, Bannon and I are pretty much on the same songbook, but he said something the other day, and he's over here not campaigning with the campaign, but campaigning against this coup. He said, you know, here's what's going to happen. They're going to try and insert, they're going to try and have a coup, and they're going to try and install the Biden-Harris, or the Harris-Biden, more accurately, regime, right?
Yep.
So right now you have a 4-4 tie. You got a 4-4 tie. So why is it important? Well, number one, this breaks the tie. This confirmation, if it's Amy Coney Barrett or whoever it is, then, at this point it wouldn't matter. This breaks the tie. This gives the 5-4. Right. So that may actually upend their plan. And you could tell by the hysterics and histrionics of why we must stop this. There's no precedent for this. No one gets appointed during an election year. Are you kidding me? Do you people read? So for the Trump versus Pelosi or Trump versus United States, this is the fifth vote. So if you're going to vote for President Trump right now, be praying that President Trump actually does get the right nominee and that Lindsey Graham and the Judiciary Committee are actually able to get that nominee through the committee, which they should be able to do, and then it are actually confirmed, because that's your tiebreaker.
But how likely is that? I'm very skeptical that this is going to get pushed through in 30-something days. Come on, Mike. Is this realistic?
It is totally realistic. Okay. So confirmations have happened in 37 days. Okay. Confirmations have happened in 21 days.
Okay.
The night that this came out, William B. Wood was nominated on the 15th of December, 1868 by Rutherford B. 1872 by Rutherford B. 1871. No, 72. I had it right. By Rutherford B. Hayes on December the 21st, 6 days later, he was confirmed. And that's another thing that we can talk about here. Okay, why is this so important? And how could they nominate a SCOTUS justice and confirm him in 6 days? Well, the SCOTUS didn't matter. This is the great irony.
Right.
The libs have made the SCOTUS their all.
Yeah.
They can't get partial birth abortion. You right. can't get that through a legislature.
Nope.
You can't get Obergefell through a legislature. You know how I know? Your state voted on it in Texas. You voted it down. We voted on sodomite marriage in Louisiana, voted it down. 72-28, it went down in flames in Missouri. So everywhere heck. In 2009, it went down in flames in California, of all places they had a vote. They can't get that through a legislature. So they're the ones that made the court omnipotent. Now that they did that, look at the position that they are in, right?
Yeah. They need this. And this is why you see all these feminists losing it on social media, because for them, the Supreme Court is the last backstop for abortion rights, so-called rights.
Right. Oh, sure.
Okay, so is it going to be Barbara? Is it going to be Amy? Ted Cruz? Who should it be? First, who do you think it should be? And then who do you think Trump will actually come out with here soon?
Well, I actually think it should be Douglas, but he's not going to nominate Douglas.
Okay.
For the simple reason that this is the judge that had a transsexual transitioner in front of his court and found the man guilty who was insisting, you will sentence me as a woman. And he was like, no, it says right here that you are Mr. And this guy is solid. Okay. So in my opinion, who should it be? I think Trump should lose this nonsense about it's got to be a woman to replace Darth Vader Ginsburg,
yeah.
That it's got to be the best jurist available. And there are many that are better.
But we play a game. We have this game.
So you got to play the game. So why Amy Coney Barrett? How did she even get on the radar? Well, do you remember back in 2016 when he was just Citizen Trump candidate, came out with a list. He had 100, I think it was 140 names on the list. Chris Ferrara looked at it. My legal guy, Kevin Gutzman, looked at it. Many people that have legal backgrounds that are either very conservative Christians, like Kevin's an Eastern Orthodox, Chris is a Catholic, obviously, looked at the list, knew many of the names, looked up some of the rest of them and went, that's a good list. That's a really good list. And if you look at, Doc, if you look at what's happened in 4 years, 300 confirmations on the federal bench.
Right.
That's a lot. That is going to pay dividends for a long time to come. Those now 143 of those were Obama appointees that, you know, Obama was like, we don't need them. I don't need to build those because I don't care. So I'm busy playing golf and holding phones upside down. So Obama left 143 vacancies. Trump went, yeah, I'll take that. Bam. Filled them all. He's filled another 150 some odd now. That is huge. If you're thinking that you shouldn't be, and I know you did a show with Jesse Romero about Catholics for Trump, yep. And I know you're on the Trump campaign committee or the Catholics for Trump committee. Catholics for Trump should understand he's made the federal bench over 300 nominations and confirmations. And guess what? How did they all get through Mitch McConnell?
Mm-hmm.
So can this be done? We have 40 days from today. Tomorrow will be 39. Can it be done in 39 days? They used to confirm them in 6 days. You know, we have to understand the first public confirmation hearing wasn't until 1922. This wasn't a big deal. President would nominate someone. They go up there. You know, they'd make the rounds.
Yeah, and but that was 98 votes. Years ago.
True that. It wasn't major media.
Right. And there wasn't abortion, Mike.
Right, right.
You know?
There wasn't abortion. Didn't have all those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, who do you think it's going to be? And how's it going to play out in the next 30, how many days did you say? 38 days, 39 days?
Well, today is 40.
40, okay.
Supposedly from today we have 40. So tomorrow will be 39. How does it play out? Okay, well, there's a couple of things that we'll learn about this tomorrow. Does he make the announcement at 11 a.m. Eastern, which means you get lots of people in their cars, lots of people consuming radio, like yeah. My Talk radio station, the Correct. Crusade channel, lots of people still plugged in on an early part of a Saturday, okay? If you make it at 5 p.m. tomorrow night, you're basically saying, I don't want anyone talking about this, okay? Yeah. I'm going to make the nomination. I got a rally to get to, and then I'm golfing on Sunday at Mar-a-Lago. So if you make it in the morning, you want people to talk about it.
Right.
You're not. If you make it in the evening, you don't want them talking about it. We'll deal with this on Monday.
Yeah.
So a morning pick is going to be someone that is already known, or it can already fuel the fires, if you will, and will be a subject of discussion. So if it comes out in the morning, that to me is Coney Barrett. She's got to be right. This is a paramutual. Right now, she's at 8 to 5 yeah. on the morning line. She's at 8 to 5. I think Judge Lagoa is probably, they say she's in second. There's another one. There's a Justice, I think it's Betta. Now, that's a sleeper pick. There are two other women that it could be that have very, very conservative, very strong voting records. But here's the thing, Doc. This is why I said most important for Catholics. You're going to get, by all accounts right now, a Catholic female. Get it right. Again, we all want a little church triumphant every now and then. Get it right. Get it. Get the right Catholic female. So, obviously, I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know. Amy Coney Barrett is the odd-on favorite. But do not think that there aren't at least three others that are equally and eminently qualified as she is and could also serve in that exact same role.
Yeah.
So look tomorrow morning or tonight for the announcement. What time is the announcement? Early morning, probably the favorite. Afternoon, ho-hum, no one cares. We'll talk about her on Monday. Now, Justice Lagoa has almost no paper trail.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, look, no one is perfect. Everyone says, well, this and well, that. I know, but who's your favorite of the three women you just named?
Beta.
Who?
Beta.
Beta. Okay.
I'm not sure of the spelling.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, let me give you the.
What are
Am I
some
Saint
of the
Michael?
downsides? Okay, let's do
Let me
Saint.
give you the Saint Michael card,
Let's do it.
and let me. What you're guarding against here with Amy Coney Barrett? She was asked by, as Trump says, Kamala, Kamala, Kamala. She was asked by Kamala Harris. No, it was Dick Blumenthal. I'm sorry. She was asked by Richard Blumenthal question about the contraception case in Connecticut.
Yes.
Okay. And she gave the wrong answer. She said it was precedent and that she was okay with it.
That's bad.
So, yeah. And I got a brain spasm here. I'm trying to remember the case. I should know it, but it's the case that comes if you don't. If this case isn't decided the way it was, you don't get Roe. You don't get Roe. So that's a red flag. Now, did she say it just to get Blumenthal to shut up? As maybe some of them go like, "Oh man, you just keep with your question. Just stop already." Maybe, I don't know. That's a question mark. There's also people that say that she has said that, well, I won't take a public position against something that the Holy Father has proclaimed on. Have you heard that one?
I've heard a lot of she said, but when I try to verify this stuff, I can't verify it. That's why I'm a little bit skeptical. People bring up, well, she's pro-vaccination. People say she will recuse herself on anything that has to do with abortion, et cetera. But I can't find these statements. If they existed, I think they'd be published and people would be throwing them out everywhere.
You
So
would think.
a lot of it's kind of like myth or
And by the
alleged.
way, the case was Griswold versus Connecticut.
Okay.
That's the contraception case. And as my friend Brother Andre Marie says, if you get contraception, you're going to have abortion.
Yeah.
Because with contraception comes sexual promiscuity,
Exactly.
and then the purpose of sex stops becoming babies and starts becoming recreation.
Yep.
So Griswold paves the way. So that's me. That's a huge red
That's not
flag.
good.
No, that's not good. If she actually thinks that way.
Right.
Now, there's been a recent case, very recently. Amy Coney Barrett was one of two on a three appeal court panel. She wrote with the majority. She didn't write it. She was with the majority again, or with Governor Pritzker of Illinois. Okay, this was a religious liberty case. I took the time to read the decision. I don't like it. The decision basically says that a church or a religious entity is the same thing as a health club. It's the same thing as a concert, if you will.
Right.
That because it's a place of public accommodation, has the same parameters, same people, you got the big building, et cetera, that if you can regulate the amount of people for health policy that go into an anytime fitness, if you will, and you can regulate the people that go into a church.
Right.
And then she cited the decision was citing precedents, precedents, bad precedents. And one of the worst precedents was a case that was decided in, I think it was in 1908, and everyone calls it the vaccination case. Well, it is a vaccination case. Well, that was cited, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but that case is often cited as, well, yeah, the state can make you get a vaccination, or you can have your child. The state can pass laws requiring, like, to get into a public school, a vaccination. So there is some murkiness here. And I think that's always a concern.
What's
Trump's a smart.
your relationship to Roberts? Do we know anything on that?
So which one is Roberts?
Justice Roberts.
Oh, you mean Chief Justice Roberts?
Yes.
I don't have,
Okay.
other than what we have already talked about, I don't really have anything else to say. Other than
She clerked for
Gagarin,
Scalia, is that correct?
I think that's right.
So I'm just trying to figure out how does she relate to any existing justices that give us any insight into how she would, rule.
Okay, well, let's talk about Justice Scalia for a moment. God rest his soul, eternal rest grant unto him, O God, the perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen. Most people think he is the, ooh, oh, it's the Beau idea. It was the greatest Supreme Court. Now, look, legal mind, brilliant, off the charts. Originalist? No. Did he get everything right? No. Justice Thomas was in opposition to some of the more famous cases that Judge Scalia had a hand in deciding. One of the most famous ones was, I believe it's the Richter case, is where this woman in California, a doctor told her she could smoke some hooch for her glaucoma. At that time, state of California, she still had some brains left, and they sued. And they said, no, it's illegal here. There is no such thing as medicinal marijuana. Case went on appeal, and appeal went all the way to the Supreme Court. Guess what the court decided? California could make that woman suffer pain, glaucoma, and could remove from her the medical freedom of what was then legal, which was medicinal marijuana. Scalia wrote the opinion. Scalia is obviously on the wrong side of that. If you're a Second Amendment guy, we'll probably all have different views on what you think the Second Amendment means. My view is it means you can join a militia, your state can convene a militia and can tell you what kind of gun that the militia carries, and you can keep it in your house or at the armory. Right. Doesn't have anything to do with universal right to defense, because that's God. God gave us that already. I don't need the Second Amendment for that. Scalia is on the wrong side of the Heller opinion, which basically national or tries to nationalize some gun rights or restrictions against guns. Or you could, because you could do one, you could flip it the other way. So Justice Scalia, they got a lot right. And yes, I'm not saying that he was all bad. He was a disaster by no means. Please don't misunderstand. But Justice Scalia was not an arch federalist. He certainly is not an arch originalist. The only one that's on the court today is Thomas, and he was on the court then. So there are some question marks in Justice Scalia's some of his jurisprudence as well. So is she clerk for Scalia? Does she think like him?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's definitely drawbacks. What do you think? I mean, we're having, as Catholics, we have to deal with the fact that, sadly, we are not under the monarchy of St. Louis the Ninth. Sadly. We live in a republic that's degrading. I mean, it is degrading. Not that it's, well, it's also degrading to us, I suppose. But it's falling apart. Trump himself, I'm voting for him. I'm supporting for him. I'm on the advisory board for the Catholics, for Trump and all that. But I don't agree with everything. LMNOPLGBT is one of them, right?
That's a big one.
It's a very big one. So we as Catholics, we have to choose, we have to sometimes hold our nose and choose and support people who are not St. Pius V, you know? Is that okay for us to do? A lot of people, I'm watching the comments as you're speaking, a lot of people are like, Amy's compromised. Barbara's compromised. No. And just my response is, well, what do we do? Some Catholics say, well, let's just sit at home and pray the rosary and not vote and do nothing.
I'm going to pout.
Yes. That's, and I think a lot of traditional Catholics, not a lot, some traditional Catholics are like that as well. One of the things I try to do is excite that base and say, no, get off your couch and go vote. I know the man is not perfect, but look at the alternative. You know, we're basically just, we're trying to hold back the gates of grand persecution against us, which will happen under a Kamala Biden ticket. So can you speak to that? Because, look, I mean, I'll admit there are some things about Amy Coney Barrett that I don't like. But what else can we do at this moment in 2020?
Well, let's talk about that. Okay, a couple of things. Great Patrick Henry once said that I know no way of judging the future, but by the past. What do we have that we can look for in what President Trump has done? Okay, I already gave you 300
right.
Federal bench appointees, 2 SCOTUS justices. Quite possible you get 3. Okay. This one turns out well. That's a remaking of the court.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to be on the wrong side? So there's I can't do any good. She's compromised. This person's compromised. Look, everyone's compromised. I'm sure on some things, St. King Louis the Ninth was compromised. We're humans. You're going to have compromises. So here, Russell Kirk, 1991. We cannot let the perfect become the enemy of the good. What else has Trump done? 2 days ago, people go like, yeah, he just did that because he wanted us to vote for him. Well, at least he's trying to get your vote, bro. Yeah. Signed an executive order saying, look, if a baby is born alive in America, I don't care under what circumstances, it's got to get care. Yeah. Okay, under a Trump administration, my administration, that baby gets cared for. We value life. There's a lot that you can take away that's good and that you can like about what the president has done. Name the first Catholic president president that had Ave Maria sung at the White House.
Yeah. It's the Donald.
Yeah, but he just did that because, well, you know, does it matter? I like the people that want to crawl inside his brain and psychoanalyze everything the guy's done. Last time I was on your show, you asked me questions about the president, so you're giving me a big forum here, and I thank you for that. I'm a 51% Trump guy. I think he's wrong about 49% of the time. 51% of the time he gets it right. I think he does an outstanding job, and I think he's done things that no politician ever could have done. Look at the stuff that he has done for life. There can be no doubt. Look at somebody said, I think it's Chesterton, if you want to know what an ism is, conservatism, look at what its opposite is. Okay. So if you want to know a little bit about Donald John Trump, who I call the fourth Don John, if you want to know a little bit about Trump, look at his enemies. They're our enemies.
Exactly.
Now, is that a reason? Is that an existential reason? Well, if we're in war, yeah, that's what's known as an ally. Mm-hmm. So when someone comes at me and said, I'm not going to vote, I can't support this president. This is often misquoted. It's attributed to Edmund Burke. No one knows if Burke ever actually said it this way. But for evil to triumph, all that is necessary is for good men to do nothing, yeah, or for men of goodwill to do nothing. Right. I think you have an obligation at this juncture in American history that if you can alter the outcome of something that could go bad or could go good, then as a Catholic, then you should want that participation. You should thank God that he's placed you in a position to do that. And knowing that the vote, especially in a state, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Hey, babe.
What about Arizona? You like Arizona in there or no?
Maybe Arizona, maybe even Nevada. Hey, babe, your vote matters.
That's right.
This time, your vote matters. Let's go back to the church triumphant for a minute here. And you know, I know I watched some of your shows. I know some of the guests you've had on. You've had, you know, the demon hunter, Jesse Romero, on recently. Jesse told you, and you had him on last year when his book came out, you know, about the struggle with demons. So, and I know you've done show about evil. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not red versus blue, Democrat versus Republican. Pick a side, babe. This is good versus evil. And if you look at what's been stacked up here, it's easy to see. I like to use the analogy of a chessboard, okay? On one side of the chessboard, the bad guys, Killary Red. On this side of the chessboard, the good guys, us, Marion Blue. Okay, if you look at what the red side has going for it, they have the House, they have the deep state, they have every corporation in the world. Name your corporation. They've all thrown in with the Rainbow Purification League.
Absolutely.
We've lost that. It's over. That is a battle. It's not even worth your time to fight. They have many governor's mansions. They have many legislatures or parliaments across the world. They are in control of the media entertainment establishment. They run. They don't participate. They run the American university system. Absolutely. They run the American public, the American Federation of Teachers, the National Education Administration or Association. They run the school. They run education. Yep. We run homeschooling. They run everything else. So they have cleaned the table, and it looks like it's insurmountable. But Taylor, look at what God has kind of shown in just the last couple of months, just kind of put out there for the blue chess piece. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but a good friend of mine, he's at St. Alphonsus Liguori Church and National Shrine in Baltimore. Father Ian Bozan wrote a letter to the president after he watched Ave Maria being sung at the White House and said, Mr. President, he cited Archbishop Vigano, who you've done shows with about this, right? Vigano told the president what? You're in a battle, Mr. President. Good versus evil. Father Bozan cited the Vigano interview, your interview with Vigano, and what Archbishop wrote. And he also cited Ave Maria, Sister Beta, on, I think it was Tuesday night of the convention. And he cited one other instance. And he said, Mr. President, you've called upon Our Lady at your nomination acceptance. You thought it was appropriate for you to have recourse to her. And now I beg you, do the same thing for the rest of the United States. Consecrate the United States to the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is Father Ian Bozan. My website, crusadechannel.com. I broke the story last Saturday. I know Father Bozan. He's from New Orleans. What else did Father Bozan say? Don't just do it, Mr. President. Come here on October the 7th on the Feast of Our Lady of Victory and the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary and the Battle of Lepanto. And do the consecration. Now, there's some people out there go, he can't do that. He's not even Catholic. Well, Father Bozan explains that, yes, he can.
He can. He's the president.
He's the president. He most certainly can. So this is God going like, hey, guys, I'm laying all this great stuff out here for you idiots. I've sent my queen down to warn you 7 times in the last century. I keep telling you. And look, now you've got the now just imagine if Trump actually did this. Just imagine Father Bozan hands him the Fatima consecration prayer, just makes a couple of edits in it, and Trump actually does this, signs a little executive order and goes, you know, does that thing. You're now fighting with the Mother of God, Our Lady. So you're on the side. Now, the fact that Bozan felt compelled, this is a very holy priest, very holy, very conservative, very traditional. The fact that Father Bozan, and I asked him, I said, are you comfortable still with this? Afterwards, he goes, absolutely. He goes, you know what my what the problem is, Mr. Church? I said, what's that, Father Bozan? He goes, I can't get anyone to talk about this.
Right.
The more people talk about
Let's talk about it.
The letter will get in front of the president. I think Trump would do it. So you're looking at the chess piece. You've got the Catholic nominee coming up here. Everyone knows it keeps coming up. Catholic nominee. It's going to be a Catholic. They're all preparing. What is Blumenthal? I guess he's Jewish, right? What's Blumenthal going to say? What's LaDasha, LaDasha? What's LaDasha going to? What question are you going to get? What's Feinbein going to ask? They're going to ask her questions about her faith. By the by,
the dogma.
The dogma. I'll give you one more. If you watch Trump rallies, and I assume that you do because you're on the board. In his final 5 minutes, and now it's 10 minutes, there's something that I've noticed recently he keeps saying, and he even has Kayleigh McEnany saying it. What is that? We're going to make America great, proud, strong again, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He's added something. We're going to defend religious liberty. He keeps saying we're going to defend religious liberty. Now, this is new. This, to me, is a projection that the nominee is a Catholic, and he wants that nominee to be a Catholic because they are religious, and that he wants that fight because it is religious. Now, if you think of it from that point of view, ask yourself the question, since Garcia Moreno, maybe, name the world leader that's been in a position to actually fight on the side, even if he's not Catholic, actually fight on the side of Catholicism. I mean, when you hear the president talk, I hear a Catholic talking. I go like, this man's going to convert. It's just a matter of time. He's going to convert. You pray for that conversion. But much of it, and he's also used the term solidarity recently. No. Not like solidarity labor union.
He has a lot of Catholic advisors. People don't fully understand how much of his advisory, not just board, but his those who counsel him, he is surrounded by Catholics. All these things you're saying, they're not accidents. They're not accidents. Oh, he just said, oh, Ave Maria is good. Let's pray. No. Sister Deidre holding up a rosary. This is my weapon. I'm not just pro-life. I'm pro-eternal life.
This is my weapon.
Mine's bigger than yours.
Yeah. You got me on that one.
Look at that.
Woo.
That's by Seraphim Rosaries. I mean, these are serious right here. Abby Johnson.
By the way,
I mean, he pulled out the big guns.
She wrote to you. She asked, we were one of the people she asked questions on. I'm thinking about the Latin Mass. And you told her, go, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Abby's like, hey, look at the Latin Mass. What do I do? It's like, don't bring a book. Don't do anything. Just go with your kids. Be quiet and just watch it. And you'll be confused, and that's okay. Don't even worry about it. Just pray.
So you see what I see. You're closer to it than I am because you know some of these people now. You're on the advisory committee. You see that there is a Catholic influence there. Now, folks, remember you told me last time, you go, oh, I got to pump the brakes on that whole Trump Catholic thing back in June when you and I last talked, right? I'm sure, hey, pump the brakes, man. I'm pumping the brakes on it, too. However, in our adult lifetimes, as a public figure and as a governor,
right,
as someone that has a lever of power, name for me someone in the United States that has put more Catholics into positions of power and talks and sounds like he actually understands some of Catholic social moral teaching. Yes, we're going to throw the LGBTQ thing on the side, okay?
Yeah.
Because, and we're all remain confused about that one. I am confused.
Yep.
Throw that one on the side because I can hear, you know, your comments going, yeah, what about, well, that's a good point. Fair point, dude. I can see
that. Fair point.
And I don't know. Name the public person that has stood, that has represented the church in the way, or not the church, that's wrong, Catholic teaching, and as Brother Andre Marie, my friend, calls it, the census catholicus more than Trump. Yep. You know, Taylor,
you can't, you just can't.
No, one of the things we get, and there's a lot to like about the president, especially when you learn about his personal philanthropic history, it'll blow you away. There are things that man has done that people don't know about, very small things that just, I'm actually privy to one. I have a friend that he called because she's deaf. So he did a video call, and he told her, thank you for your support, love. Love you. I know you can't. I know it's hard for you, but I just wanted to, you're great. You're so beautiful. And he was told the story by professional golfer Graham McDowell. He was playing golf with Graham, U.S. And I love Graham, U.S. Open champion. And you know what Trump said? Give me the phone. You got a number? Give me the phone. You know, that is not the actions of a tyrant. That's not the action of a playboy, and then all the things that he was. He sets a good example for on many different levels, and I think one of the most profound ones, he doesn't get any credit for it. Instead, all he gets is sniping because Ivanka is a liberal. Yeah, but that's his liberal. That's his daughter. That's his daughter.
Yeah.
That's a family, man. That's a nuclear family there. You got the son. You got Don Jr. You got Eric. You got Lara. You've got Ivanka. You've got little Baron. You have Melania now. That's a family. They represent well as a family.
You know what's interesting about that is nowadays, you know, in the toxic feminist culture, smash the patriarchy, etc. How often do we see it where a man, a father, all of his children love and adore him and honor him? It's pretty rare. It's pretty rare.
You know, a great moment on that, Taylor, is after the sham impeachment was over and he had that thing in the West Wing of the White House, and he got up and he gave a speech and he thanked everyone in the room. And when he thanked, he said, but who did he thank first? We thank God. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I want to thank my family.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was defending his family in a lot of that. Those lawyers were defending Ivanka and Don Jr. and Eric. But he said, I want to thank my daughter, Ivanka. And when he asked her, I'll never forget this moment. When he asked her to come up on the stage, they had an embrace. His mouth was moving and her mouth was moving, but it wasn't Mike. But I could read her lips. I love you, Daddy. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. Now, you're going like, oh, come on, Mike. Now, that's it. You're just a... That's what I want my daughter to say in a moment like that. That was a cool thing to see.
Yep.
So it's important. This nominee is important. And the final thing on our chess piece, on our chessboard, is this. Ultimately, there is another case. Obergefell is going to come back in front of that court.
Yes, it is.
Do we want a justice on there that Biden nominated and no chance to get it right? And reverse this atrocity, this abomination, this affront to God himself. But we want a justice that Trump appointed that has it. At least we have a chance, okay, to get Obergefell reversed. Roe's going to come back up. You want it reversed. There are several other cases that are going to come up back in front of the court, precedent cases. Who do you want to make that appointment? For my money, it's Donald John Trump.
Me too. All right. Well, we'll see how it's going to go. I want to make a wager with you online. We're live right now. I'm going to make a wager with you. As much as I want it to happen, I don't think they're going to get it through by November 3rd. You think they are?
I believe that will happen before November 3rd.
All right. I'm going to bet you. Let's bet a cigar. What cigar you want to bet?
Well, here. Let's bet a steak dinner.
Oh, you want to up it?
Yeah, I go to your place, I got to buy you at Morton's. You come to New Orleans, you got to buy me at Ruth's Chris.
Okay, that's a deal.
It includes the wives.
Includes the wives.
And the after-dinner cigar.
I love New Orleans. I love New Orleans. And we'll go to Mass at St. Patrick's.
Yes, sir. All right, I'll take the bet.
For TLM. You want to take the bet?
I'll take the bet.
Okay, so just to make it specific, it has to be confirmed before November 3rd.
Yes.
Because not just before he's wins the election, because the election could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah. No, we'll say November the 4th, because Tuesday.
November the 4th.
Because they could vote on Monday.
Okay.
One more side effect, benefit of that, LaDasha Harris is on the Judiciary Committee.
Now, why do you call her LaDasha? I never heard that before.
Because in her biography, she said, people keep mispronouncing my name. My name is like a punctuation mark, la, or comma, la. And then she wrote comma, C-O-M-M-A-la. Okay. So I'm like, well, if you want to be named after a punctuation mark, I could do that. Your name, your new Delta Tau Chi name is LaDasha.
LaDasha.
So LaDasha.
Okay, LaDasha. LaDasha. All right, so our wager is I want it to. I'm on your side, Mike. I want this to go through. I'm just a little skeptical that it will, but we got a steak dinner with the wives, either in Texas or New Orleans, and you're going to take before November 3rd. I'm going to say not going to make it. Deal?
You got it.
All right. Got it. There we go. Well, this is a good show. Everybody go check out the Crusade channel. Lots of people today in the comments are big fans of Mike Church and the Crusade channel, so... What's the best way they can get over on the Crusade channel, Mike?
Come visit us at crusadechannel.com. Take a 30-day free trial. You know, I've been a devotee of something that you said on two shows ago, which is, guys, Catholics have got to start buying from Catholics.
Yeah.
I'm a media guy. He's a media guy. Buy from me. Subscribe to my service. I'm not fake news. I'm not FAUX Fox News.
Cancel Netflix. Subscribe to Good Guys.
Subscribe to Good Guys. Give us a chance. Yeah. Take 30 days free. CrusadeChannel.com/go. Simple as that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And while you're at it, guys, please like this video. Give it the thumbs up, whether you're on Twitter or Facebook, YouTube, however you're watching it. Give it a thumbs up. Like it. And please share it on Facebook and Twitter. Mike, you know, they're throttling me on YouTube, man. Killing me. You say the A word, you say the G word, you say Biden, any of that kind of stuff, they are throttling down our videos moving into the election.
So I saw that. I saw your numbers. I was like, what happened to 170,000?
Yeah. Yeah. So we, y'all have to be the algorithm, the Catholic algorithm, and you have to manually share it. Otherwise, we're just going to get drowned out amongst all this stuff in Facebook and Twitter and all that. So please share it. And if you're on YouTube, please subscribe, hit the bell, get the notification. And with that, we will close up and we'll pray the prayer of the Archangel Gabriel and Saint Elizabeth in Luke's Gospel, the Ave Maria, which Trump had sung at the end of his convention, the Ave Maria, and the Gloria Patri. Will do that in Latin, and we'll sign off. So, Mike, I'll lead it, and you do the second half. Sound good?
You got it.
All right. Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis, peccatoribus nunc, et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto.
Sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, and remember, everyone, you got to pray that rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary every day, you're not on the team. Am I right, Mike?
You're absolutely correct every single day. And be very specific with your intentions. Our Lady loves granting your intentions, but you got to be specific. And I know he can vouch for that, and yeah. I certainly can too. Yeah.
So pray the rosary every day. You can put an intention on each bead. You can put an intention on the each decade. You can put an intention. This whole rosary is for name a person, name a cause, what you're doing. Don't waste ammo. Make sure you assign your beads, your bullets, to the right targets. Bullets of grace.
Indeed. So
pray the rosary every day, or you're not on the team. And remember our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Mike, thanks for being on.
Anytime. Thank you, Taylor. Always a pleasure.